he went through the school process at Calvary. For the pain that he suffered for us, Father, we do thank you for providing him for us. Not for his sins, Father, but for ours. As we partake of this loaf, Father, our minds go back to that cross and that body that hung there for us. Help us, Lord, to partake of this in a manner be pleasing to thee. Help us to examine ourselves, Father, determined to be more like him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue our thanks to our Heavenly Father for this cup, the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that was shed upon that cross. Again, Father, help us to partake of this in a manner be pleasing to thee. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord's Supper has been completed. We now have an opportunity to give back for the work here at this place. This works not only just for here in this area, but even throughout the world, and even for those that are in harm's way and who have served disastrous tornado problems, and for that we are grateful that we are able to help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessings that you give us. For we realize blessings come from thee. Father, as we give back a portion of this, of our earnings, we pray, Father, we'll do so from the heart. We pray that these funds will be used in such a way that it would glorify your name here on this earth. Thank you for caring for us as you do. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We have 18 present this morning. Today is December 19, 2021. If you would at this time, let's mark our song books at number 454. 454 will be the song of invitation. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 426. 426. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His our blessed Redeemer, for our sins he suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation.
Our studies about the Lord and His church come to a close today in the sense of the sermons that I fixed up for this occasion. And I look forward to this particular lesson because it raises the question, if there's error that comes to teaching in the church, who is responsible for correcting it? Who is responsible for it being changed? In Romans chapter 16, I'd like to have you to read there with me today. In Romans 16, verses 16 and 17. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, and avoid them. They are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but they serve their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. The simple are deceived by the speeches that are given by such men as are described here. Who is to correct them? Who is to make a change about it? The brethren at Rome are written, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine you've received of us. Notice the message of the Lord was to be a message that was continued on through the standards of time. All the way down to our day and time, that message was to be the same message. And thus, the individual himself is responsible for noting the message of truth and noting that it's not being taught, and thereby challenging the individual kindly and authoritatively who teaches differently. The servant of the Lord must correct that particular matter. It is the case that those who are more knowledgeable and been in the church a long time and that thing would have an awareness of it more. And they would be first to speak about it. At the same time, how do they speak? 2 Timothy 2:24. But the servant of the Lord must not be divisive, gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. In meekness instruct those who oppose themselves. Does that sound like that he's mean-spirited to that individual who is teaching error? Teaching something that the Bible does not teach us at all, that was not taught there by the apostles as they voiced their message in Romans 16:16 and 17? Or does it sound like that there's to be kindness that is expressed, There's to be a genuine interest to help the individual to be corrected to the right path of teaching about that particular subject. And as a result, be helped greatly because they are there. That's the way of the Lord, the way of teaching of the Lord to be done. And it's to be done in that methodology. We're to speak those words in gentle words, soft words that are there. Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 15 and verse 1, a soft answer, a gentle word, gentle words. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Do not use grievous words, but rather soft words, gentle words, that express the concern about what is being taught and where it is found in the pages of the Scripture. Let's take a look at the Scripture teaching about the subject. And thus the people can help people and can help people away from error being taught and practiced by a local congregation. Who is responsible? We are responsible. We're responsible for it because we want to know the Bible. We want to know the teaching of the Word of God. And as a result of that, when we have someone to come and teach us a matter that is not correct and not accurate to the biblical text, then we want to oppose that, but oppose it in such a way that the individual will be benefited by it, not run off by it, not pushed aside by it. I've talked about a particular thing for a long, long time to brethren who in their families were so rough and mean-spirited to their children or to their grandchildren. They drove them away from the faith. They drove them away from the teaching of the Lord. They drove them away because of their particular mannerisms of speech and the way. To speak to an individual in such a way that we are gentle is the Word of God. That's the teaching of the Lord. And that's what we have to do. Let's do it again in 2 Timothy 2:24. Paul had written to Timothy about the faith and the teaching of the gospel and the methods of the Lord. And then he got finally over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. And he says, the servant of the Lord must not strive or be divisive, but gentle unto all men. Gentle in what way? Gentle in teaching. Gentle in talking to somebody. Gentle unto all men. Apt to teach. Able to teach. Able to correct. Able to give the information that we need to have. And patient with it. Realize that one time when a person leaves something, they don't all of a sudden make a change about it. Be patient with that individual to absorb that matter and realize what is being taught and what is being said. And thus correction can come about as a result of that. That's the way of the Lord's church and the way of the Lord's word. If we have brethren who find themselves rough-spirited and rough mannerisms, it's very likely because dad and mom were rough-spirited, or grandma and grandpa were rough-spirited in their way. How many people did they reach in their lifetime? How many people did they teach? Only somebody who was just exactly like they were. When they were rough-spirited and rough-tiled to somebody who was rough, then they would consider it. But they did not. They taught it to their children and to their children's children, and thus their criticism has brought about division from the church of our Lord as a result. Let's be people who love enough and love them enough to teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ and love enough to recognize what is the message of the Lord. When you and I preach these particular messages to the Lord, we find ourselves looking forward to the way in which we teach the gospel and the methods of the teaching the Word of God. And as a result, we find ourselves doing it because that's the way that God would have us to do. That's the way God would have us to teach. And because we teach that way, we find ourselves with a privilege to be the kind of person that God would have us to be. The church of the Lord, that's what we're talking about. Not your church, not mine. Not your way, nor mine. But the way of the Lord. And as we read these verses in the Bible, can we help but see that there's a gentle way to talk? There's a patient way to talk? There's a way to help out understanding of people? And when someone says, well, the person I want to teach has been gone from the faith a long time, raise the question. What caused that person to be away from the truth, away from the gospel? What caused that to happen? And very likely in the teaching that you give in a gentle way, you'll by and by hear them say, it was because of somebody's teaching me in the roughhousing way that you talked about, that you didn't use. And I appreciate so much you're trying to help me and teach me and guide me to the truth. That's the way that you hear it. But you won't hear it right off the bat. You won't hear right off the way, because there are people who love their folks and love the people and love the way of what they've learned, and they don't go from that particular direction. But if you help them to go from the direction of the Bible, from the teaching of God's Word, and from the direction of the Lord, then you'll be a person who is gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient, and in meekness instruct those who oppose themselves. You realize that they do not, when they go forth to teach message, are not opposing you and me. They're not objecting to you or me. They are objecting to themselves as a result of the teaching and the method that they're using of error that's being taught. So whose responsibility is it to help that matter? It's your methodology and mine. We're in a congregation who can help that situation just immediately. We can help because we practice it among one another. We have Bible classes here. In those Bible classes, we have the way of talking to one another, discussed again and again. And because of that way of discussing to one another, we learn how to do it better, do it differently. We raise a question differently, and we grow in that way. And that's the way the Lord would have us to do. Think about it just a minute, and think about the way of the Lord. Think about what the Bible tells us in regard to the Lord Himself and how He's a way of doing right and righteousness. When we find that to be the case, we look to the book of Psalms in this particular matter, and we look to the way that the Lord taught him about the way of life. If you'd look to me with Psalms chapter 80, if you would look to that particular matter and read down at verse 12, you'd see something in regard to what David said to the people in regard to his day and time. And we look at that particular matter. Psalms chapter 80 and verse 12. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they that pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Notice the description that is given of the people of Israel and their way. And why do they continue to be the way that they are? They continue to be the way they are because there is rough treatment that's been given to them. And as rough treatment is given to them, that's not the thing that God would have them to do. Look, if you will, in one chapter further in Psalm 81 and verse number 12 there. He says, verse 11, "But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels." Lord said, I didn't say any more to them. I let them be what they wanted to be, what they wished to be. In their rebellious ways, I let them be that way. And because they were that way, some of them listened later on. He says in verse 13, "Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my way. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but this time should not have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with the honey of the rock, which I have satisfied them." What did the Lord want to give them? He wanted to give them something sweet and something good and something helpful to be changed. He didn't want to give them what they in turn had given him. That's the way of the Lord. So to teach the teaching of the Lord, you and I have the opportunity to do that. Let's use the methodology that He's taught us and speak with gentle words that turn away wrath. Grievous words will stir up anger. God bless you in every way for good. Thank you for listening this morning and study with us. If anyone is subject to Jesus' invitation today, this song of invitation, a few words of it, are there to encourage you. How may we come elect to the Lord? Well, when we're baptized into Christ, we're added to His church, Acts 2:47. And as Simon was a man added to the Lord's church, when he sinned in Acts chapter 8, at verse 22, he was told to repent of this and pray God that the thought and intent of his heart be forgiven him. He could be forgiven. He could come back to the Lord. But he had to stop and repent and pray God's forgiveness. That's all that's involved. And it's a matter that's involved to help the soul of each individual that needs to do that. While you need to do that, right now as we stand together and as we sing together.
Salvation tomorrow may be too late. There's danger and death in delay.
Picking these bags up right here, and as we close in prayer, I'll be walking toward the back, and I'll hand them to you at the time, okay?
The closing song this morning will be number